Central Bank Chief John Mangujga says Harare has secured a loan from the Africa Export and Import Bank to repay arrears totaling $1.8 billion. This, Mangujga says, will help Harare to access fresh funding and revive the ailing economy.
We are on track on the program to repay our arrears to the ADB, World Bank and IMF, and that is scheduled during the board meetings of ADB and World Bank in September, and we look forward to clear our arrears by that time to help Zimbabwe to access new funding for the Zimbabwean programs that include Zimasset and the rest of the other programs.
But from remarks from the International Monetary Fund and the United States of America, which has veto power at the IMF board, it's not clear that Harare will automatically get fresh loans after settling its arrears. At a press briefing last week, IMF Communications Department Director Gary Rice said Zimbabwe was working on a plan to clear its arrears with the fund and other international institutions, adding there was no financing program under discussion. Rice said, irrespective of the calendar for arrears clearance, the Zimbabwean economy needed immediate reforms to address challenges that have come to the fore. In an exclusive interview with Studio 7, United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Harry Thomas Jr. said it is premature to talk about the U.S. response now as Zimbabwe has to settle its debt first. This, according to former Finance Minister Tendai Biti, also leader of the opposition People's Democratic Party, points to demands by the IMF and the international community for Harare to reform.
What does this mean? It means that we are in serious debt. And when you are in serious debt, you can't continue to borrow. What the government is trying to do, debt is a disease. When you are in debt, you are a junkie. You are like a drug addict. So when someone is a drug addict, when someone is an alcoholic, you don't give him more alcohol. So what the Chinamasa is trying to do to Zimbabwe, that is a drug addict, that is an alcoholic. He's trying to cure that alcoholism, that hangover, by giving this country more beer, more whiskey, more bottles of whiskey. It doesn't work. That's why we can't borrow from Peter to pay Paul so that we can borrow more from Paul. The theoretical framework doesn't work. That's why I argue that the government is structurally illiterate, because what Zimbabwe needs right now is not area clearance, is not to borrow to clear areas. But it simply needs debt relief and debt cancellation, which can only be done through HIPIC, the Highly Indebted Poor Country Program. But ZANU-PF doesn't want to go through HIPIC for two reasons. The first one, they are too arrogant to be called poor. But yet we are poor. Our per capita income is US $180, and 79% of our people are surviving on less than US $1.25 a day. So we are poor, and poorness is scientific. The second thing that ZANU-PF are not interested in is that HIPIC has got conditionality. Under HIPIC, the international community, which have to provide the kindness of cancelling debt, will have to look at whether we are beating up people, whether we are stealing elections.
Economist Professor Tony Hawkins concurs with BT, but adds that with an election looming, Harare will not institute reforms.
Well, I think that's what they hope, but you will have seen the remarks by that guy on the IMF who just said, look, for them to access money from the fund and the bank, they would need to make all these reforms and so on. And he talked about governance and so on. Now, quite honestly, if you think of a party, very unpopular government, with elections in 2 years' time, they're not going to want to introduce a whole lot of tough reforms like reducing the size of the civil service and so on.
But the question is whether Harare must prioritize clearing its arrears or pay its workers. Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe says workers must come first.
Basically, my take is that I think Zimbabwe, the country, should prioritize the payment of wages and salaries to its workers, because already government is in a contractual relationship with these workers. So I think they are bound to meet their side of the bargain. With respect to the payment of debt arrears, well, I think it's important but I think that should not supersede the payment of salary.
But Hawkins says it's comparing apples and oranges.
Well, I don't think it's a choice in the sense that, you know, to pay the arrears, they have to borrow the money. I mean, they don't have the money themselves. They're going to borrow it from all over the place. And so, you know, if they had a choice, then you could say, yeah, we would perhaps better pay the workers than the arrears. But in fact, you can hardly borrow money to pay workers, and that wouldn't be very successful.
What then is the way forward? BT says Harare must look inwards and also admit that it has failed. President Robert Mugabe, though, has blamed sanctions imposed by Western countries for the government's failure to pay its workers on time. According to the latest statistics from the Zimbabwe Revenue Authority, collections in the second quarter of the year were $861 million against a target of $892 million. But what is the endgame? The International Crisis Group, or ICG, has warned that mounting tensions in ZANU-PF over President Robert Mugabe's succession, the dire economic crisis and related issues could see Zimbabwe sliding into a failed state. The think tank also noted that neither the government nor the opposition has a plan the country is willing to rally behind. Former U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe James McGee also warned at one time that Zimbabwe was rapidly deteriorating into failed state status. The ICG says for Harare to avoid the prolonged uncertainty, it must address Mr. Mugabe's succession, seek to rebuild trust and collaboration with domestic and international constituencies by holding an inclusive dialogue with the opposition and civil society on political and economic reforms. But what happens if reforms fail? Author Robert I. Rodbeck, in a book titled Failed States, Collapsed States, Weak States, Causes and Indicators, says Harare becomes a failed state. Rothbeck adds that, driven by ethnic or other intercommunal hostility or by the governing elite's insecurities, they victimize their own citizens or some subset of the whole that is regarded as hostile. As in Mobutu Sese Seko Zaire or the Taliban's Afghanistan, ruling cadres increasingly express, extort and harass the majority of their own compatriots while privileging a more narrow-based party, clan or sect. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington, D.C.